at the 12th verse. Paul says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. I want to speak to you on these five words. Lay hold on eternal life. Lay hold on eternal life. Paul was very anxious about Timothy. Timothy was his son in the faith. He loved him greatly, and he had great confidence in him. But he warned him that he should not be careless in his prayers. That he would not be careful in exhorting him to steadfastness in the ministry. A preacher called me yesterday and we talked for a few minutes. He's even more elderly than I. And we shared our concern that in the days to come, what tragedies and adversity may happen in our country because there are few men whom God is calling to preach His Word. He gives Timothy some real wise advice. Lay hold on eternal life. We fight a warfare. But our warfare is a different kind. In Ephesians 6:12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you read the entirety of this chapter, you'll find that it talks about three classes of people that Paul told Timothy he'd have to deal with. There are some who have intermingled social affairs and politics. The average church in America this morning has one intent: to make everybody feel good when they go home. Feel good in themselves. Feel good in their world. Feel good in their accomplishments. Second group of people are those who are full of questions. And they are filled with the discoveries of false science. I'm like every one of you who's a parent. I went through this with my children. They went to school and they taught them everything that's contrary to the Word of God. And they'd ask me questions. And my response to them would simply be this: here's what God says. You can either believe God or you can believe the scientists. The scientists are all going to drop dead one day. And God will still be on His throne. The third group of people that they dealt with were some that were striving to be rich in the things of this world, and they considered that to be a high priority. I was sitting in my study Friday working on these notes, and I got to thinking about when God saved me. When I was a young man, I was only interested in two things: my wife and my bank account. And it was a toss-up on a given day as to which one was most important. I only had one goal in life. I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 35. That's back when $1 million was a lot of money. Our churches are filled with people who want to be rich. People who want the goods of this world. I saw a house the other day that's been empty for some time, and I asked somebody about it, and they said, well, they just sold that house. It's been for sale for a couple of years or so. And I said, what happened to the fellow that used to live there? I used to know him. They said, oh, he's got a lot bigger house now. I thought, that house is big enough for four families. Why don't you need a bigger house? But Paul's advice to Timothy in dealing with these three groups of people was to ignore them all. Ignore them. And hold on to eternal life. I want to bring you a message this morning, if the Lord will help me, that I have titled, A Grip on Eternal Glory. Lay hold on eternal life. Now, in order to do that, there's a couple of things we have to think about. First of all, we have to know what eternal life is. And I maintain that most of the people in the world, and in fact most people who sit in churches on a regular basis and come every time the doors are open, have no idea what eternal life is. Eternal life is a gift of God. If you have it, and I hope you do, God gave it to you. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. One of the first works of God's grace is to put eternal life in our hearts. Lived without God for many years. Didn't care about God. Didn't care about the church. Didn't care about the Bible. Didn't care about Christ. Didn't want to hear about Him. Didn't want to know about Him. Had no time for Him. One day, I desperately wanted to know. I said, what'd you do? I didn't do anything. I didn't do anything. God Almighty came down to this earth and came into this dead sinner's heart and gave me life and showed me His Son and brought me to Him in faith and said, buddy, that's your only hope. That's your only hope. It was the happiest day of my life. In Christ, people become a new creation. It is absolutely and completely God's work. Preachers don't do it. Deacons don't do it. Churches don't do it. Evangelists don't do it. God does it. The dead cannot do anything to gain life. It must be a gift. When God made Adam, He just rustled up a little bit of the dust of the earth and piled it up. Don't know exactly what it looked like or anything like that. But God breathed into that pile of dust the breath of life. And Adam began to live. And God put in a place, a process, that He had designed before the foundation of the world to manifest the human race, and it has continued through all these years. And children still come into the world the same way they always have. Eternal life can only come to the sinner by God's touch. I got a call the other day from a lady who said, I'd like you to attend a meeting. I said, lady, I don't go to meetings. They're a waste of time, but I'm interested in what kind of meeting you're having. And she told me they're going to have a meeting They're going to get all the preachers together and some counselors together here in the county and see if they can do a better job of changing people and getting them to come to God. I said, you're wasting your time. You can't make anybody come to God. You can't come to God. What you better do is have a prayer meeting and plead with God and beg with God that in His will He might be pleased to come down and touch some folks. Second thing is that eternal life is a present possession. I have had eternal life since 1967. Well, said, you're not eternal. I know I'm not. Eternal life is not for these bodies. Eternal life just lives in these bodies while we're alive on this earth. And when the body dies and the spirit is released, eternal life continues in the presence of God. But we have eternal life right now. You know, life may sometimes be employed to see the glories of heaven. Heaven's a glorious place. The older you get, the more you'll see that. Ask some of the older folks that are here. Ask some of the elderly. I know more about heaven right now than I did a year or two or 10 years or 20 years ago. I'm more familiar with it. It's more exciting to me than it's ever been. The day of regeneration is when God plants the first seeds of eternal life in a human soul and it begins to bear fruit. An early token of eternal life is that we suddenly begin to pray. We don't pray what some book tells us. We don't pray what somebody writes down. We pray what God puts in our heart. This is eternal life. It's a gift of God. And it's a present possession. Eternal life is the life of God that's implanted in the soul. The Spirit comes and breathes God's life into the hearts of dead sinners. The Spirit of God is a magnificent being. Christ lives in us as the Spirit breathes God into us as a free gift. I remember when God saved me, I tried my best to tell Him He didn't know what He was doing. I tried to tell Him, you don't know how bad I am. You don't know how evil my heart is. And He kept saying, I know you. The older I get, the more wicked I know I am. But I also know how gracious He is. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit come together and they dwell in those who once were unregenerate. Eternal life is a life that'll never die. Now, people die. I promise you that if God tarries His coming, you're going to die. One of these days, somebody else is going to stand up in this pulpit and preach. They may do it because I'm just too old. And I'll go back there and sit in the back and listen. But there'll come a day when you'll come in here and I won't be here. So where's Brother Dave? Oh, he died. Don't you believe it. I'm not dead. The house I lived in is. It's up there in a hole in the ground in the graveyard. But I'm alive. If life can come to an end, then it is not eternal life. I preach a lot of funerals. And I'm always mindful when I look at a body laying in a coffin. There lies George Pease, yet Pease is not here, it's just his pod, because Pease is sold out and gone to God. It's just a house. Now, you young people may not understand this, but those of you who are a little older, you remember the first house you lived in? When you got married, you had about $3.13. You probably wouldn't let your hog sleep in that house now. Some of you, I remember where you lived when you got married. If life can come to an end, it's not eternal. Old houses fall down. Old houses get torn down. Old houses get rebuilt, remodeled. They still fall down. Jesus said in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. Never. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I woke up this morning thinking about, some of you knew this lady, Alice Devine. If you didn't know Alice, you missed a treat. She was a quiet, humble woman that knew God. I watched her go from being what I thought was old then, but she actually was middle-aged. And I saw her get older, and I saw her health deteriorate, and I'd started seeing her at the doctor's office, and she always had this spirit about her. And before I was a believer, I used to think, I don't know who that lady is, but whatever she's got, I'd like to have it. This life of God is not only going to be eternal, it is now eternal. Now, what a blessing. If you're here and you've been enabled to receive God's gift, God blessed you in a great way. Everything else in your life will eventually pass away. Now, Oscar's got a tractor or two that's been around a while. But one day they're going to quit working. And if they don't quit working, he's going to quit working. And he's probably like most farmers. He's probably got a piece of equipment or two sitting around his farm somewhere that he doesn't use anymore. That's the way this body is. We're going to leave it behind. The life of God, however, will continue on forever. Someone wrote, take with rejoicing from Jesus at once the life everlasting he gives. And know with assurance thou never can die, since Jesus thy righteousness lives. That's good news. This eternal life is a life that's perfected in glory. Oh, it's flawed down here. It's locked up in the body with everything else. But it lives and matures in this world in varying degrees until God sets it free. We may have just received life, or it could have been many years ago. It's the same life, but in a full measure, it's a life made abundant. The life of the saint in heaven is exactly the same as our life in this world. It's all Christ. It's all Christ. This new life is a new and divine principle of immortal design. Have you received this gift of God? Is it dwelling in your heart today? Well, you have eternal life. Has God brought you out of death and given you a life that endures? You have eternal life. I tell you, I wonder, how can we ever cease to adore His name who has bestowed such a treasure upon us? I've had people give me things through my life, and some of them were expensive things, but they become unimportant. And other things that are worthless become precious to me. I have a little mule pulling a cart that sits on my kitchen sink. I wouldn't take $100,000 for it. Probably didn't cost 3 cents or a nickel. My great-grandmother gave me that. It was my grandfather's, my great-grandfather's. She gave it to me when I was a little bitty boy. Had it all my life. Someday I'll die, and boys may throw it away. I don't know what to do with it. It won't matter. I'll be gone. We need to ask ourselves, secondly, how do we lay hold on eternal life? He tells us here, lay hold on eternal life. How do we do that? First of all, you must believe it to be true, to be part of eternal life. The beginning of our hope is when the Lord leads us to believe. I never had hope before then. I've never lost hope since then. God gave me hope. This is a higher life than nature can ever create. You know, our world's full of people that are always creating a better life. We got more kinds of soap, and it's all new. Mostly not. Know that I've been a diabetic for a long time, and I'm always amused at what the latest and greatest artificial sweeteners they have. They've got this, that, and the other, and they've got whole aisles at the Kroger full of just artificial sweeteners. And I don't know which one's the best. Jesus said in John 10:25, I told you and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. That's what matters, what He did. Nothing can hinder when He begins to work in us in free grace. You know, Satan will tempt the believer to think this is fiction. He told Eve, did God say that? You sure God said that? And He still says that to you and me. Every child of God has times when they question themselves. If you don't, then God's blessed you richly. I've never doubted God. But boy, I sure have doubted me. So I wrote, Lord, I was dead. I could not stir my helpless soul to come to Thee. But now, since Thou hast quickened me, I rise from sin's dark sepulcher. Because You did something. I tell you, if you've not experienced such a change, there is such a thing as eternal life. And I'd recommend highly that you try to embrace it and get hold of it. You ought to take care to read and to hear just the Word of God, so that faith and life come to the saint. I went to visit an old lady one time. And went to see her several times. She had this is back in the day of cassettes. She had a set of cassettes somebody had given her that was just the Bible. It was somebody reading the Bible. And she'd play those things for hours and hours and hours. And I asked her, her name was Irma. I said, "Miss Irma, do you get benefits from that?" She said, "Oh, yeah. Just to hear the Word of God. Just to think about what God's done in me." We must not only embrace life, we must appropriate it. You can have something to live on. You can have a bank account to live on it and not never appreciate it. You know, all these folks who are going to win the lottery, you know, they I win $462 million. I'll be set for life. Let me tell you something, honey. You can get set for life for a lot less than $462 million. You don't even know what to do with $462 million. You can't appropriate $462 million, but you can appropriate this. Take this life and carry it home with you. Mm-hmm. Eternal life is God's free gift. He puts it in within the reach of sin-deadened people and gives them life. Hold on to it. We need to come empty-handed. Come just as we are and come to Christ. You must never let it go. Now, God won't let you go. Let me tell you that. God, if you're God's child, He won't let you go. But people think they can let God go. They don't know what they're talking about. Hide this life in your heart is the choicest treasure of divine mercy. It's precious. It's the work of God's grace. And He enables you to take it. And He enables you to keep it. And hang on to it with a death grip. When God gives you life, then stay yourself upon it. Lay hold on eternal life. When life or your enemies bruise you, hold on to eternal life. If you believe in Christ, there's life in you to bring you to God's throne. Don't be staggered by the traditions and tragedies of life. Stay your heart on God. I tell you something else He's telling us when He tells us to lay hold on eternal life. He's telling you to let other things go. Let other things go. In all situations, we need to do the right thing and trust God. There are a lot of people in this world that are just wearing themselves out and preparing for destruction. Lay hold on God. You know, lay hold on something good. We'll be gainers if we lose everything in order to embrace Christ. We need to hold to this life while we anticipate the joys of heaven. You know, I think we don't go to heaven often enough. I hear people say something, "Well, you know, she's gone on to heaven. She's been waiting for it for a long time." You don't have to wait till you get to heaven to enjoy it. But God gave you a mind, gave you a heart, gave you a soul. I think about heaven every day. There's a lot of questions I have about heaven that I don't have an answer to. But I still think about it. I rejoice about it. You know, true Christians are always in two worlds at the same time. June and I were talking about this morning about credit card things, people, you know, infringing on your credit card, stuff like that. For about almost 7 or 8 months, I paid the $10 or $12 a month, something like that, for Netflix. in Brazil. Plus a dollar for fund transfer. And I thought, well, I don't know what to do about this. I don't know a phone number for Netflix, and MasterCard won't talk to me, and I don't know what I'm going to do. And finally, one day, I found a number for Netflix. And I called them, and I told them, I said, I'm going to drop your service. It doesn't work on my TV anymore. Plus, I'm paying every month for Netflix in Brazil, and I don't even understand Brazil. And so the lady gave me a number, and I called, and the lady said, well, we're sorry you had a problem with it, but she said, I'll see if I can do something about it. And I said, okay, it's just fine with me. Just stop charging me for it. And I haven't missed Netflix in Brazil since then. But I tell you, if I miss heaven, I'll really miss that. I thought about it seriously. Since my baby went home to heaven years ago, I think about it often. I think about her and I wonder, what's she doing? And I know the Bible tells me enough about what they're doing, but I know some things they're doing. And I think, well, that must be phenomenal. Just like, oh, interesting and exciting. I tell you right now, if you're here in this world and you're a believer, you have been overcome by the applied blood of Jesus. We have peace with God in heaven right now by the life of Christ. Had it since before the foundation of the world. We just didn't know about it. We have holiness right now. Not by what we do, but by the Spirit of God. We have communion with God not only in this earth, but in heaven. Our fellowship is with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit all the time. I tell you, it's good sometimes to anticipate that day when we'll come to His blessed inheritance. I'm not afraid to die. I'm not. I haven't been for a long time. In fact, I look forward to it. I know that sounds silly to some of you, but I can't make you feel what I feel, but God can. This world has no joy for me. And that brings me to another point. We must have heaven in us before we can go to heaven. I tell you, if you don't have heaven in you, you're not going to heaven. It's a simple fact. The world believes everybody's going to heaven. They're not. We must live in these spiritual things which are essential features of heaven. We must know if we have a heavenly hope, because our heavenly hope is the only thing that will mitigate all our problems. Some of you know, last week I was sick, and I was sicker than I've ever been in my life that I ever can remember. I've been in more pain, but I've never been that sick. And I lay in the bed for 3 or 4 days, and I thought often, oh God, I'm glad I have a future. Our heavenly hope is good right now. You have a heavenly hope right now. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. But I'll tell you something. It gets better. It gets better. The closer you get to reality, the better it gets. If you have eternal life, you better hold on to it. Hold on to it like a precious jewel. When my wife died for several months, I couldn't part with anything that was hers. They were treasures to me. I have never worn a set of earrings in my life. But I'd sit down with her little earring chest, and I would go through those earrings, and it would bring back memories. Places we've been and trips we'd made and things we'd done. And it was so precious. And finally, she became so precious to me that those things became unimportant. I gave them all away. Who are those who ought to lay hold on eternal life? He says, lay hold on eternal life. First of all, those whom God has called to experience eternal life. If God's given you eternal life, hang on to it. Hang on to it. Those who have confessed Christ ought to lay hold on eternal life. It's more important than anything else in this world. Paul wrote this to Timothy. And Timothy had been consecrated to the service of the Christian ministry. The Lord has committed the gospel to some men. I said some men to impart it to others. I have done that for 50 years, and I'm thankful to God for the privilege. I don't know how much longer He'll let me do it, but I'm going to do it until I can. A blind man or a mute man is out of place in this world. They're like a man or a woman who rests in Christ. May the call of lay hold on eternal life come to you, and may God enable you to obey it. When you're in the world and tempted to make gains by sin, abandon them. Hang on to Christ. When you can bear this world no longer, listen and hear His voice again. Lay hold on eternal life. It's the only life's work worth living for. I don't know what you do, all of you do, and I really don't care. It don't make any difference to me what you do. But I do know this. The only thing in this world worth doing is to hold on to eternal life. I know a lot of doctors. Most of them are arrogant. And they'll tell you right now they're the greatest things that God's ever put on this earth. Well, they're wrong. I open a newspaper up every day and I look and Dr. So-and-so died. I look down and I look over their life and they're all this history and they've done this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other, this, that, and the other. If they belong to a church of any kind, it's some false, dead, empty church. Lay hold on eternal life. May God teach us what eternal life is. Especially if you don't know. If you don't know. If God's given you a new heart and a new spirit, lay hold on Christ. And trust completely in Him. I pray we'll leave here today rejoicing. I mean rejoicing. And full of faith in our masterful Lord. He's all we got. He's all we need. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we need no other hope. Amen.